Welcome back. This is the MMA Amigos podcast. I'm your host, Gabe. Welcome by our co-host, Tiny Feet himself.
The man, the myth, the legend. Juan Carlitos.
Juan Carlitos.
And we've got the other Tiny Foot, Alex.
That is true. I do have one tiny foot.
Alex,
it's the left
just,
one.
Just to start off, how do you feel after Alex Volkanovski lost that you've now stepped up in the world of Alex's to just a slightly higher playing field?
Well, I am the great now because Volk is no longer great. He's Alex the mediocre Volkanovski. So it feels good. I'll wear this with a badge of honor and I won't let the world down like Volkanovski did.
Oof.
Now you can break into Volkanovski's house too, dude. Now you can break into his house and beat him up. Imagine him telling his daughters that he got beat up by a greater Alex.
Did you guys see that Islam sent his daughters like toys and stuff?
That's weird.
Yeah, I did.
Dude, that's funny, bro. It's hilarious.
That's like mind games.
Yeah, he's going to send him toys and then show up and beat him up.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to play mind games because he's freaking got domed already. So, all right. Well, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down 299 for you guys. So this card, pretty exciting. It's going to be a banger. It's going to be very exciting. Going to be full of ups and downs, especially probably for Alex, because he's going to see his boyfriend die at the hands of a much younger man.
I'll murder you.
That's usually how it goes, isn't it? You usually die at the hands of a younger man.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, this card is going to be wild. A lot of people are calling this card almost a passing of the torch for a lot of these guys. A lot of the older gentlemen, a lot of the vets are fighting the younger guys. And to kind of emphasize that point, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a rundown on some interesting facts here that I was able to find out. So I took the age of all the fighters, their debut, and how many fights they've had in the UFC, and I put it into an average for us. So the average of the older guys, if you will, is about 33. Which all of these older guys, they debuted in 2015. That's the average year, and they have a fight rate about score. Wow, what am I trying to say right now?
Are you saying?
I'm so lost right now.
They're like the fighters' record. Their overall records. Their average record is 30. And that's to kind of give you guys an idea of how many fights.
So you're saying how many? So out of the older guys, right? You're saying that they've had an average of 30 fights.
Yes,
professional fights or in the UFC.
Correct. Professional fights overall. That's just their record. Their standing.
Okay.
Record.
Okay.
Yep. So does that make sense? So average for the older guys is 33. Age 33. Debut 2015. And their fight cadence, I guess, if you will, is 30 fights about. Now, for the younger guys, this is where it gets interesting, especially the debuts. So the age isn't differ too much. It's about 29 for the newer guys. The debut, though, is 2020. Most of these guys, the average debut is 2020. So it's 5 years. 5 years later. I mean, that was only 4 years
just
ago.
Just straight up guys COVID prospects, dude.
Seriously, dude. And then the fights, this is what I found most interesting, because these guys have 4 years, average 4 years in the UFC, but the average amount of fights is 20 already. That's like crazy to me, because you can just tell that they're fighting it a lot more just in general. You know, they've already got 20 fights. I mean, 10 more fights for most of these guys is going to be in like 3 years, you know, and that, I guess that still doesn't even put them close to that almost 9 year gap from the other guys. But I thought that was interesting because it really is almost the old versus the young.
Yeah, for sure. You know what's interesting, though, is I'd like to see, like, out of the old guys, you know, what kind of cadence those guys started out with, right? Like, did out of the average 30, did, you know, 15 or 20 of those come within the first 5 years of them being in the UFC or just as professional fighters, right? Because I was watching this interview with Dustin Poirier, actually, earlier this week. And he was talking about, you know, his run in the UFC, and obviously it's you know, no secret that he's getting up there in age, like you're saying. He's considered one of the older guys, more veteran, and he's saying every time he steps into the ring he feels like he loses a part of himself, right? Which is true. I mean, like, I'm sure that at the beginning, within the first 5 years, he probably fought a ton, right? I mean, have to go back and look at some stats, but now, I mean, he probably fights what, once a year, maybe twice a year, right?
Yeah.
So he's just taking care of himself. So, I mean, you got these guys coming in. They're hot. They're heavy. They're sweaty. And they just, oh, man, they just want to feel another man's. They just want to feel another man's touch, you know? They just want to feel another man's touch. And, you know, as time goes on, maybe that that yearning, you know, that yearning dies down and they start slowing down, you know?
Oh, you guys are filthy,
Keep
bro.
Keep going, Carlos.
Oh, you almost had freaking Alex there, bro. He was there.
Dude.
Excuse me. Okay, so interestingly that you bring up Dustin Poirier, he actually has the most fights out of this whole list. He's at 40 fights total. He's at 39 fights total, which is nuts, dude. That's nuts. He's actually first, and then second would actually be, interestingly, Song Yadong, which is one of the Song Yadong.
Yadong.
Yadong. Yeah, Song has fought a lot, man, but these were out of the UFC. A lot of these fights were. So he's only 27, I believe, and he's had 26. He's had close to 40 as well, which is nuts. Nuts.
Well, dude, have you ever seen these, like, have you ever seen those, like, professional Muay Thai fighters? Their records are like 100 in like 20 or something, right? Like, they fight all the time, man. And I imagine that's probably maybe where some of that comes from. Is I know he's not a Muay Thai boxer or a fighter, but but yeah, it's crazy, man, how they do it in the Asian countries.
In the Asian countries, yeah, it's crazy, man. Crazy. Okay, alrighty. So I just wanted to give some interesting background, I guess, to what people have been saying regarding this fight card, just because it is, I mean, it holds truth, you know, whatever, like, what people have been saying, it holds truth, and that shows in the facts, right? But let's get on to it. So the main card this weekend, we've got a bantam welterweight, two welterweight fights, a lightweight and a championship bantam fight. And I'm just going to run down the card real quick, and then we'll go into the fights more in depth. So we got Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong. Currently, Piotr, I believe, is the dog at 110. Or no, sorry, these guys are both favorites. Sorry. Piotr Jan is favored at 110. Song Yadong is favored at 110 as well. Then we've got Gilbert Burns at the dog, 130, versus Jack. They call him like JDL?
Yeah.
JDM?
JDM.
I'm just going to say
Della Madalella.
I'll say, yeah, I don't know how to say his last name, so I'm just going to say JDM.
Just call him Jack.
Gilbert Burns. Or Jack. Okay, cool. So Gilbert Burns versus Jack, and Jack is the favorite at minus 160. Then we've got Kevin Holland, minus 138, versus Michael Venom Page. At the dog, actually, at 110, MVP, yes. And then we've got Diamond, the Dustin Poirier, or Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It's Dustin Diamond, dude.
Hell yeah. You sound like Hulk Hogan.
Hell yeah, brother.
Dude, you actually kind of are Hulk Hogan. Just like Asian and not like with a handlebar mustache yet, or a goatee or whatever yet.
How do you know? You haven't seen me in person for a while.
Yeah, dude, that's a lot of talk about his mustache for not even being there, experiencing it. What if it is?
Holy shit, did you just assume my mustache?
Wow, shoot. You're going to get canceled, bro.
I'm going to get canceled now. Thanks, guys. This is the end of MMA Amigos.
No, it's the MMA. Hey, how do you say you on MMA? Because Alex.
Alex, how do you say amigo or amigo? How do you say friend in Japanese?
Oh, pongyo. Just kidding. That's in Chinese.
Damn it.
Because we got song yadong.
It's going to be MMA pongyos.
Pongyo.
Pongyo. Nice. Okay, so we got Dustin the Diamond Poirier, the dog at 170 versus Benoit St. Denis, and he is
Benoit.
The favorite. Benoit, that's right. He is the favorite at minus 200. And then we've got our championship fight, Sean O'Malley, minus 275 versus the dog, Marlon Vera, at plus 225. So let's get into it. First fight of the night, we got Piotr No Mercy Yan versus Song Kung Fu Kid Yadong.
His nicknames.
Kung Fu Kid and No Mercy. Kung Fu Kid. Yeah, dude. Yeah. This is going to be a good fight. I think, well, actually, I was going to ask you guys, before we get into the cards, I just want to get your opinion. Which card out of these do you think is going to be kind of like the sleeper fight or the steal the show fight?
What? So what fight out of this card?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're looking at it, right, I guess the assumption is that the top two are going to be the bangers, right? So we're talking O'Malley, Vera, Poirier, Saint-Denis. Those ones are the expected ones. I think that we're going to get a fantastic Kevin Holland versus MVP fight. I think that stylistically, those guys, it's going to be a banger, man. They're just going to be up there like doing roundhouse kicks and freaking dodging, dodging punches like Neo dodges bullets, dude. It's going to be crazy.
I have some thoughts about that fight, but we can get into it once we get to that card. But so you're thinking that the Holland versus Page is going to be the sleeper fight, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think all these fights have potential, right? But I would say that out of all of them, I bet that that fight has, for me, the most potential of getting fight of the night.
Okay, cool. Alex, what do you think?
I'm actually kind of thinking this first fight, Piotr and Song. I like both these guys. I think they can, they're just going to be beating each other down, trying to decide, you know, China versus Russia, who's taking over the world, man.
Yep. Yeah, I think I agree with Alex, to be honest. I think one of the outlying things for this fight is Piotr Jan. So Piotr Jan, as many of us remember, lost the belt to Aljamain Sterling due to a DQ. There was an illegal knee that was landed, and Grammy Award winner freaking Aljamain Sterling. Oh, he was able to, or no, it's not a Grammy. I just biffed that.
Oscar.
It's not a Grammy. Oscar. Oscar Award winner Aljamain Sterling got the belt at the time. Mind you, he did put up a pretty good title reign up until he fought Sugar. But yeah, so he lost the fight. And ever since then, he has been on a losing streak. He has lost four or three fights since that. And I think, and this is where, I don't know, I may be wrong, but I think Piotr Jan's going to bring some bombs to this fight. I think he's going to want to prove something and kind of show that he's still here to show his worth, I guess, to show that he's still going to be like in the game. He's still in title contention, and he shouldn't just be kind of tossed aside. But on the other hand, you've got Song, Kung Fu Kid, Yadong, and Yadong. He's going to show up, dong in hand, and put on a show, just like he did when he fought Corey Sandhagen. I don't know if you guys remember that fight, but I actually been watching Song for quite a while now, actually, because I like his fighting style. I like, he's very fast. He I don't know if you remember this, Carlos, but we watched one of his fights in a prelim at your place, and I told you, I said, that guy, dude, he's gonna make it up the ranks. I guarantee it. I bet we'll see him in fighting the bigger guys here soon. I think that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, dude, I do remember
that.
It was against Marais, dude, and I agree with you. So, like, I'm gonna straight up say, I think I think Yudong is going to take this. I don't think Beaudier isn't coming in with the right mentality, because if we all watched the presser, right? And for some odd reason, Jan was like, I'm going to prove that I'm the best boxer. No, you're not. No, he's not. Straight up, he's not. So if his game plan is to go in there and try to strike against Yudong, no shot. He's going to have to defer to his wrestling. But if he's going to go in there and try to prove a point, it's Yudong all day.
Dude, and that's the thing, is like, he could try and kind of fall back on his wrestling, but there's no shot he does it. We all saw how bad Merab just kind of tossed him around and took him down like 100 times during their last fight.
Yeah, that's true.
And his tank is shit. But you look at somebody like Song, that when he went 5 rounds with Corey Sanhagen, and he held his own, dude, against Sanhagen. And this is what I was going to refer to earlier, but if you guys remember, Song, he suffered like a horrible, horrible, I think it was just right on the inside of his eyebrow, from an elbow from Corey. And it was bad, dude. Do you guys remember that? Like, yeah, those horrible cuts? It was terrible, dude. Like, those pictures are disgusting, but this dude put up a fight, bro. He showed up, and I think he really showed what he can do. And I don't think Piotr walks out of this one, to be honest. I'm going to take Song for this fight as well. Alex, what are your thoughts?
Where do you think Piotr Jan would be if that controversial split decision against O'Malley actually went his way? Because I don't know. What did you guys think of that fight? I mean, do you think that O'Malley actually won that one? It seems like more people thought Jan won that one.
I think Jan
including
won it,
O'Malley.
I think Jan won it. And I got some opinions on O'Malley, man. I'll straight up say right now, I don't think he wins this weekend. For the reason that you just stated and beyond. But I think that Jan takes that, and it probably does a lot more to his mental. But really what ended up happening is, I mean, he takes that controversial loss, right? And then he gets beat up by Merab. And I just think that mentally he's just not there anymore. I just don't think he's there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree. I think, let's say, for instance, if Piotr Jan were to have won that fight, I mean, what happens next? Right, he goes and tries to fight Sterling again. At that point, Sterling's grown up quite a bit. He's got more of a mentality of a champion, you know. I don't think Piotr walks out champ even after that fight, regardless. You know, I was just shitting on Sterling, but the dude really did grow into the position. You know, he was putting up good, decent performances until obviously Sugar took it from him. But I just don't think... I don't think Jan would have gone very far regardless after that, but that's just my two cents. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I forgot about that Sugar controversy, but yeah, I don't know. Who are you taking though?
Well, with that, I mean, I was just kind of curious your thoughts on that, but no, I think, I think that probably did something to his mental, and he's just kind of been on the downhill since then. So now I think Yudong is going to mop up the floor with him. But no, it'd be kind of interesting to see kind of where Jan would be if that decision went his way. Cause I think momentum is such an important thing in this sport. And
well, you bring up a good point.
I'll leave it at that.
Think about your previous fights. Like, when John Jones fought freaking Dominic, what was his last name?
Cruz.
No, not Dominic Cruz.
Dominic Cruz.
No, not Dominic Cruz. Dominic freaking middleweight. I forgot his name. But
I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same thing, dude. I mean, you bring it up and it's like, you know, he fought John Jones. And in my book, Dominic won that, man. But they take it away from him, arguably one, right? And then from there, the dude just like fell off. And it's the same kind of like mental aspect you're dealing with these huge losses, especially guys who are so dominant, like Jan and some of the other guys we've seen fall from grace. It just messes with your mental, man. And it's hard to get back.
Dominic Reyes.
We could even say the same thing possibly about Volkanovski. I mean, his first fight against Islam. I mean, I think a lot of people thought Volk won that one. I think he did. And then after that, I mean, obviously taking a short notice fight doesn't help either. But look at him after that controversial decision and look where he is now.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I'm going to take Song second round submission.
Ooh, I'm going to take Song third round TKO.
I'm taking Song first round TKO.
Holy shit. Okay. I don't know. TKO or KO?
TKO.
TKO. And Carlos, your third round TKO as well?
TKO.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Alrighty, boys. Next fight. We've got a vet of some of the best nature. We all love this guy. At least some of us do, I think. Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Mandalanella.
Della Mandalena. Della Mandalena.
Della Mandalena. Hey. Okay. Gilbert Dornino Burns versus Jack. This fight will be a good one as well. I'm pretty juiced to watch Burns fight again. This Burns is probably one of the guys that has the most heart in the UFC. And you can just tell by the way he fights, man. Like, he will never back down from a fight, which is really cool. But he also, I mean, shows up when he fought Khamzat, dude. That was like probably one of the best fights that we've seen out of Gilbert as well. Khamzat, you know, I really don't like Khamzat, but they both showed some heart and it was a very great fight. Very good.
Yeah, I would actually say the exact same thing about Señor Della. The dude's got it, man. The dude's got it. He's got the grind. He's got the grit. I mean, let's see, how many fights has he won in a row now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights in a row.
Yeah, 6 fight win streak right now. He's got 8 first round finishes, which is insane. 11 wins by knockout.
It's a mix up too, dude. It's TKOs. There's a submission in there. His last fight was against Kevin Holland, split decision. But still, I mean, you watch that fight. Awesome. Dude's a brawler. He's a mixed martial artist at its finest. Right. It's an exciting fight. This is a good one.
Yeah, it's a great fight. He's one thing to mention too. So, also just to give you guys an idea of what the old versus the new. So Burns in this scenario would be the old. He is 37 years old. He debuted July 26, 2014 to the UFC. His fighting style is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But on contrast, Jack is 27 years old. He debuted in January 22nd, 2022. He's got a fighting style of MMA. And if you guys remember to our first episode, we were kind of explaining the different fighting styles. Jack comes for that kind of newer-ish fighting style of MMA, you know, where it's actually mixed martial arts. So again, like, this really just kind of echoes that sentiment of like, this is the vets versus the new dogs. So yeah, this fight especially, there's such a large it's a 10-year age gap, dude. It's nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. That is wild. And I mean, you start looking at Burns' record. The guy's fought the best of the best. I mean, he's been around forever. I mean, just nothing but respect for that guy. Beyond that, though, to be honest, I don't have much to say about this. I'm gonna give it to Señor Della. Honestly, I think this goes. I think this goes to Jack via unanimous decision.
Oh wow! Okay. Okay. Well. I'm kind of surprised by that. I think this fight's going to end. I'm thinking it's going to end a TKO KO by one of them. I want to say Jack. I do. But I just don't know, man. It's a hard fight to call, to be honest, because, dude, Jack's got the knockout power, but Burns has got the chin. He has got the chin. I don't think he's been finished many times, so.
That's what I'm saying, man. Unanimous decision.
I'm going to go crazy right now. Gilbert Burns, round 3 submission.
Oh, interesting.
Gross.
What you got, Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to go burn, Madalena by knockout in the second round.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, Burns is, I love Burns, man, but he's ancient.
He is ancient. He's an old guy now.
He's up there looking like the sixth Jackson 5 person. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to retire. Go sing some karaoke in a bar somewhere. I'm just kidding. I really like the dude.
Burns like that.
He's had a good run. I just think the age is catching up and the chin's not quite what it once was. It's a little fragile.
Just like somebody else sits on this card.
Shut the hell up, dude.
All right, guys. All right, we're going to move on to our next fight. Kevin Trailblazer Holland versus Michael Venom Page.
Dude, this fight is going to be a banger.
All hot and heavy. Yeah, this fight's going to be nuts, man. This is going to be one of those potentially like crowd stealer shows for sure. I don't think we are going to be disappointed by any means, but
bro, just wait. We're going to end up with a freaking Romero Costa situation. Izzy versus Romero.
Izzy versus Romero. That would suck. That would suck so bad. I would cry. It'd be the worst card of the night. I know I talk a lot about Izzy, and I really do like the guy, but that was the shittiest fight I think I've ever seen in my life. It was so horrible.
I honestly would say it is the most boring fight of all time. Like, it'll go in the Hall of Fame as like the most boring fight of all time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. That was a horrible fight. Anyway, so
but this should be everything but that.
Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed. So one thing that I want to say about this, and this is kind of like what I want to talk about earlier when you were saying that could be the crowd stealer, I think it definitely could be, but in doing so, I think that's what would be Holland's downfall, to be honest. I think Holland is a really good, efficient fighter, and he's got very good IQ, dude. Like, the way that he can kind of go from ground and pound to some insane, like, submission attempt. Crazy, dude. He's nuts. He's a really, really good fighter. He's got 7 submission wins, 14 wins by knockout. So, I mean, he's a pretty well-rounded guy. His fighting style is Kung Fu, 31 years of age, debuted August 4th, 2018. But yeah, I think if he tries to put on a show, he loses the fight immediately. If he can keep his distance, if he can keep the fight controlled, I think he takes Paige. I honestly do. I think Paige is here to put on a show, almost like a Michael Chandler-esque, right? Chandler came into the UFC to try to put on a show, and that's exactly what he did. You know, every single one of his fights is a banger, certified banger for sure. But the issue with doing that is you're leaving yourself vulnerable pretty consistently. And I think that's what Paige is going to do. You know, he's coming on to try to do, like, put on a fight, man. He's trying to show the world that, hey, I got signed on to this for a reason, which is great. But if Holland can slow the roll down, which I don't think he will because the cutting guy that he is, he wants to put on a show. But if he can do it, as weird as it sounds, if he can not put on a show, he'll win the fight.
Okay. All right. I hear you, and I hate your take. So here's what we're No, man. Okay, so let me give a little bit of background on MVP, right? Michael Venom Page. He was in Bellator, right? And this is his first fight in the UFC. So this guy has seen competition, and people argue, oh, Bellator competition isn't as good as UFC competition. I will agree for the most part, right? But still, the guy has fought an amazing career. Let me give you some numbers here, okay? We're talking 21-2. That's his record, 21-2. 13 TKOs, 1 KO, 3 submissions, okay? Do you know, either one of you, how many of those TKOs...
The Muffin Man?
...happen in the first round? All of them. Motherfuckers, yeah. All of them. 13, dude. 13.
I was about...
Holy shit.
Well, that was in Bellator, dude. I could get 13 knockouts in Bellator.
Dude, okay. So everyone's seen the clip. Just but listen, how many of the fighters do you know that have like caved in someone's head? Huh? Anybody? No.
I would Michael say Venom there's Page a guy did. Named Kevin Holland. Because he also has his 14 first round finishes, 14 wins by knockout, 7 submissions. This is what I'm telling you. Venom Page, he's a great fighter. But Holland is a better fighter if he doesn't show up to try and put on a show. If he shows up to do what he's supposed to do, to put on a fight, to show how he can fight, put on his IQ, not to put on a show for the crowd, he will win this fight.
I don't think he's going to be able to do it, dude. I think to the point that you made earlier, Michael Venom Page is here to prove something. He's going to chase this fight. He's going to bring it to Holland. Holland's going to be forced to fight. And another thing with Page is he's never been taken down. So what's going to happen? Kevin Holland's going to try to go in there and wrestle with him. If he tries to close his distance, he's going to get frustrated. And then he's going to resort to striking. And then that's where we're going to see, I think, Page really start to put it on him. So yeah. I agree with you. If he doesn't fight, which is what you're saying, because asking Kevin Holland to not put on a performance is asking him not to fight.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds weird. Like what I'm saying is like, oh, don't show up to try to put on a performance. Like I'm not saying like don't put on a fight, but I do get what you're saying. Like Holland usually puts on a fight. Or puts on a performance, you know, that's his fighting style. He wants to put on a show. He wants to do what he can for the people. I mean, he is the Black Batman. We all know it, right? And so he wants to go on and do what is great and be great. I just think if he can slow it down just a little bit, he can get it done. He can get it done the right way and slow this Page roll down. Alex, what are your thoughts?
You know, I feel like I don't really need to chime in on all this background and stuff because I already know who's going to win this. And it's the person who trains out of Fort Worth, Texas. God's country, sir. So, no. Holland is taking this. He's going to show that Bellator doesn't mean shit. Who cares if he has never been taken down? I've never been taken down. Meaningless fact. So,
oh my God.
But in reality, I know nothing about MVP. I never follow anything Bellator related, but I don't know. Holland's been a fun one to watch throughout his career. So, I like him.
Yeah. All right. So Carlos, you got Paige. Are you saying a unanimous decision, TKO, KO?
I'm going to say TKO in the third round for Page. And Alex, I'm going to tell you right now, dude, I think that you have seen Michael Venom Page, bro. I'm going to bring up a fact here. I said it earlier. When he was in Bellator, Chris Cyborg's husband, okay, he caved in the front part of his head. Do you guys remember this? You guys seen these videos? The knee to the head, busts in the front part. Did you had to get plates in his head? That is Michael Venom Page.
Yeah, dude. And I don't want to like talk down his skill. I don't. I agree 100%. He is a very skillful fighter. He also freaking kicked somebody's knee in and like destroyed it. He made like a smiley face in this dude's knee somehow. Like it was disgusting. It was filthy. But I'm just saying, bro. I don't think it's going to be all what everybody's chalking it up to be. I think it's going to be a different fight than what we think it is. Keep in mind too, dude, Venom Page, he's 36 years old. 36. He's an older guy. Like he's a year off of what Gilbert Burns is. And you got Kevin, that's 31. 5 years the younger. I don't know, man. We'll see how the fight goes. We'll see how it goes. So Carlos, you got Page. Round 3 KO. I'm going to say Holland round 3 submission. And Alex, what do you got?
I'm going Holland round 3 TKO.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Really, really.
All righty.
Really, okay, really.
Now we move on to the main event for Alex. Alex, how about you introduce this fight, huh?
Oh, I would love to. So, all right. Yeah, the co-main event, a lightweight bout featuring Benoit, God of War. Okay. Saint Denis. Denis? Denis?
Saint Denis.
Yeah, Denis. Saint okay.
Denis.
What?
Denis.
All right. I guess the French don't pronounce a lot of their letters. Okay.
Hey, dude. Keep going. Finish.
And then fighting Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
Yeah, this is going to be a good fight. So a couple things to point out here. God of War. Very interesting. This guy, he's freaky, man. So the origin of his nickname, he got it when he was in the Special Forces. That's what they called him. In the Special Forces. It's insane. It's just a terrifying way to freaking introduce yourself. God of War, dude. I know I shit on a lot of these guys' like names. And if the background wasn't how it is, I'd be like, this is a dumbass name. But the way that he got his name, that's freaking sick. It's insane.
Dude, I'm just thinking of like what Alex is probably thinking right now. He's like, yeah, Special Forces in the French military. Like,
dude, you read my mind. Okay. Right now, I was about to say.
Okay. So
Let me finish your thought.
Now let me finish my thought. Okay, so I knew you were going to say, oh, but that's what in the French army? This dude, after one of his fights, he went onto the freaking mic and said, America, thank you for helping France in the World War. He thanked the United States for helping France. It's crazy, dude.
I mean, what else is he going to do? If we didn't step in, he'd be speaking German.
But hey, I'm just saying. He obviously is he likes the U.S., so try not to shit on the French.
But you know who he doesn't like? Ooh. Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
Who is America.
Who is America, yeah.
You know what's really funny, though, is I'm pretty sure that Poirier's, that name is also French, so.
Yeah, he's from Lafayette, which is super French. I'm pretty sure Louisiana was like settled by French people.
Louisiana.
It definitely was, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, this is going to be a good fight, man. Dustin is coming off of one of the worst KOs I've ever witnessed. That was insane, dude. He got KO'd by Justin Gaethje, second round first minute of the second round via head kick. It was nuts, man. I don't think I've ever seen Dustin go out like that. He's got a chin, literally made of diamonds, and for Gaethje to take him out the way he did was baffling, to say the least. I will say, though, I do think Dustin can take this fight and can win as well. I think the way that he needs to do it, though, is pull God of War into at least past the second round or further. This fight is going to be a 5-rounder. I don't know if you guys knew, but it is going to be 5 rounds rather than your average 3, but if Dustin can pull Saint Denis past the second round, I think it goes to Dustin easy. The only fight that Saint Denis has actually lost was after he went past the first round. He just started getting kind of gassed, you know, and that's what happens with these kind of newer fighters or lower level fighters that haven't really experienced those heavy championship rounds, and Dustin has been in many of those. We mentioned one of these fights last week, I think, or last episode, with him and Dan Hooker, Dustin and Dan. Dude, they went 5 rounds of straight bangers. They were like throwing bricks at each other. It was nuts, dude. That was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen, too. They both just showed how good their chin is, and Dustin really showed how good of a recovery he has. Even if he does get rocked, he comes back very fast, and I think that's what really will do it for him in this fight, because Saint Denis has such knockout power. Just give you an idea, his knockdown average is 1.4. that is insane. That's insanely high. But if Dustin can kind of weather the storm for a round and a half, I think he takes this fight easy.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean to agree. I think that we're going to see freaking the Frenchman come in and try to finish him in the first or second round. I think that that's the strategy there, right? And to be honest, I am going to go Saint-Denis way on this fight. Just given the way that Poirier has been fighting as of late, you even look back to the McGregor fight, right? If it wasn't for McGregor's ankle in that fight, we might have seen a very different result there, right? And then you take
really
it to
so.
Yeah, I think so, man. If you go back and rewatch that fight, I think it's a lot closer than people remember it being. I think Connor made some really solid adjustments from the first fight to the second fight, and then, you know, just that ankle situation, which, I mean, you know, all props to Dustin. I mean, I'm sure that probably some of those checks at the beginning, you know, helped break it. But anyway, as you move forward, though, right, you look at the fights that Dustin has had. He fought Michael Chandler, got him in a submission. Great, right? But Michael Chandler tends to fight to his striking way too often, right? I'm not going to get in Michael Chandler too deep, but you saw that happen. Previous to that fight, he lost against Charles Oliveira, and then he lost against Gaethje most recently, right? The fight against Gaethje was pretty even, right? I mean, I don't remember thinking that, you know, Dustin was down by too many. I know it just happened in the second round, but it looked like they were going toe-to-toe, right? And then, yeah I mean, just got that crazy kick. But that does something to your mental. We were talking about the mental aspect of the game earlier. And with Poirier being the fighter that he is, he's in it for longevity now, as I spoke to earlier in that interview. I think that he's going to come in a little more timid against someone like Saint-Denis because he understands that the power is there. And I think that Saint-Denis knows that he's going to overwhelm him. I'm gonna go ahead and say a TKO Saint-Denis in the second.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not so fast, sir. So, yes, Saint-Denis does have a lot of power. Looking back at Dustin's record, I think you're right because, we already talked about the Gaethje fight. I think that was pretty even myself. I don't know. Maybe even Dustin was slightly ahead there going into the second round. I don't know. But against Chandler, it was kind of scary because I went back and rewatched that fight and Chandler was landing some serious punches there on Poirier. And I was getting kind of worried because, I mean, Poirier, I don't know. I don't think his striking defense is great. I just think he relies so much on that chin. Even in like against McGregor, same thing. McGregor landed some great shots. And then, I don't know, going against someone that really knows or has a really good ground game like Oliveira, well, that's really scary too. I mean, Dustin's the black belt in jiu-jitsu, but I don't know. I think he, on the ground, it's a toss-up for me every time. Mm-hmm. But for this one, no, I think going into it, you guys, we kind of talked about this outside the podcast, but I mean, Dustin's nearing retirement. This could very well be his last fight. Who knows? I think he's going to give it everything he's got. So with that, give me Benoit Saint-Denis.
Alex always does this. He always bets against him. He doesn't want to.
Yeah. No, I think Dustin's going to fall into the same thing that happened to Volkanovski. Sadly, I think coming off of that knockout, I think Dustin's diamond status is kind of gone. I think one or two good shots and Dustin's going to be done.
Do you think he should be Dustin the Moissanite?
that's still a little too strong. I would say like Dustin the pearl.
Dustin the gold.
Dustin the chunk of mud.
I think you're right though, Gabe. Like if he can take it into one of those in the fourth or fifth round, which I don't think he's going to, then I'm going to give it to Dustin just because of his experience there in those championship rounds. He's got an amazing gas tank, but I don't see it really going past the third round.
No, dude, and that's a good point. I was going to say that, Gabe. That's a good take. I think if it makes it out of the second round, we're going to see a different fight. But I think that Saint-Denis knows that, and he's going to try to capitalize in the first two. Here's a question for you. Does Poirier, I wanted to ask you at the very end. Okay, well, now we know. Now just holding off anticipation.
Okay, dude, fine. So I was going to ask you guys, this fight card, do we see retirements? If so, how many?
I don't think they're going to mass retire. I think if one person does it, like let's say, for example, right? I don't know. Who do you think is most likely to retire? I mean, probably Gilbert Burns.
Poirier and Burns. Yeah, right? Both of them.
I don't see Poirier retiring if Gilbert Burns retires. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like, you think Poirier is the kind of guy to be like, oh, yeah, you know, Gilbert retired the fight previous to mine. I'm going to retire right now. Like,
dude, but you don't think that Poirier retiring would be way more like heart-wrenching to the fans than just freaking Burns? I definitely agree. I definitely think that Poirier's retirement would hurt a lot more than Burns.
No, that's not what I said, though, right? Like, I'm saying that, like, if Gilbert Burns retires in the octagon on Saturday night, if he loses, right, he retires, I don't think that Dustin would be one to, like, follow it up. I think that he holds on, then maybe announces it on, like, Twitter or something later on, right? I don't think he retires in the octagon if Gilbert does it the same night. But to your point, I think there's a likelihood both these guys do. I do think that, again, I'm basing this all off that freaking interview I saw earlier. I do think that if Poirier does not get KO'd, mind you, does not get KO'd, he will retire on Saturday.
I'm going to say that regardless of what Burns does, I think Poirier's retiring, because let's remember where we're fighting. We're fighting where Dustin has trained his entire career there in Miami. It's like he said, his second home. I mean, he is a Miami guy. I can't think of like a better place that he'd want to retire. So
that's a good point.
I think Dustin's retiring regardless.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that either. Wow. Well,
it's a tough one.
Anyway, Dustin loses a second round TKO. Sorry, Dustin.
Sorry, Dustin. Okay, Carlos, I've got you Saint-Denis round two TKO. I am at Dustin round four TKO. And Alex, you're Saint-Denis round two TKO.
I hope you're right, Gabe.
I hope he's wrong.
I hope I'm right as well.
Thanks, kidding. I really love Dustin, man. It is going to be hard. To the point of like the fans and stuff, it is going to be difficult to see him exit the UFC. And I think that we're all feeling it. It just feels like this is it for him. Like, where does he go from here? Mm-hmm. You know, like let's say he wins against Saint-Denis, right? Let's say he wins. Who's he going to fight?
Right. Does he... You know, I guess you good point. You know,
he's not getting another title shot at this point. So,
yeah, I think win or lose, I honestly do think win or lose. Again,
he's done.
I'm siding with Gilbert because here's the other thing is you guys forget Gilbert's from Miami as well.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. We're fighting in his hometown as well.
Yeah. So, like, again, you know, who knows, dude? Maybe they both retire, whatever. But, like, in the end, win or lose, I think Poirier is I think we see him go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we could see him go for sure. I would be willing to say yes, he will be gone from the UFC this Saturday night, but I don't know. I hope not. Anyway, now we move on to...
You know who will definitely retire? Sugar Sean O'Malley will be retiring on Saturday night.
Why are you saying Sugar? That's not even the card that's next.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Oh. I was looking at the notes. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it is.
What the hell? All right, we got Marlon Chito Vera versus Sugar Sean O'Malley. This is going to be an interesting fight. I've got some thoughts about this.
Pink trousers.
Yeah, dude, that's a first time in UFC history that they're gonna let him fight with pink trousers. But yeah, I really do think so. There's two things at play here. Chito has something to prove. So, I mean, all these fighters, I know I say that a lot, all of them have something to prove. Chito more so than all of these guys, I think, because of the incident that happened their first bout. So one thing to note, this fight, this is the second time these guys meet. The first time, Chito won via TKO, I guess you can call it. It was like a ref stoppage, but it was because Sean's ankle was pretty much toast.
No, it was a ref stoppage, dude. 100% a ref stoppage. You can keep going. I'm going to explain this. I'm opinionated.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I said, isn't it? TKO.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a TKO. So, yeah, I mean, he hit him in the face with, like, elbows, and they stopped it that way. It had nothing to do with his ankle. Nothing to do with his ankle for the stoppage, that is.
For the stoppage, yes, for the stoppage. Sorry. Yeah, that's good clarification. So nothing to do with his ankle for the stoppage, but the onslaught did come from the ankle buckling and kind of giving out on Sean. So, mind you, though, it was the leg kicks coming from Chito that took out Sean's ankle. That's one thing that I think a lot of people don't really highlight. They just say, oh yeah, like he was taking kicks. He checked one and it hurt. But the thing is that if Chito wasn't throwing those kicks, it wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe
Sean maybe had some underlying issues prior to the fight, whatever you want to say, there's a lot of things that could be said, but I think it's an important call out to say Chito's leg kicks did take out Sean's ankles.
And let me rewind just a little bit too here, though, right? We got to specify why this is a big deal, and it's because Suga Sean goes around touting that he's undefeated because of that loss. So he keeps saying he's undefeated because that's his only loss, and he doesn't think it was fair. Okay, cool. Anderson Silva's going to go around saying that because Chris Weidman snapped his ankle in half, it wasn't a loss. Conor McGregor's going to go around saying that he didn't lose to freaking Poirier because he snapped his ankle.
That's not good. Yeah, that's not good. McGregor doesn't count anything that wasn't a knockout. He doesn't count as a win or a loss.
That's right.
He says he's insane. He is so delusional. He says only knockouts count as a win or a loss.
So now we're saying Shrek is delusional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Dustin his fight against Gaethje didn't count because Gaethje hit him in the head and Dustin's nervous system shut down. Doesn't count.
Dude, what's funny is that's exactly you watch like the countdown to UFC, and there is literally a clip in that where they have Sean O'Malley on recording saying, yeah, Chito hit my ankle and like the nervous system, and it just kind of gave out, and that's what caused it. And I'm like, bro, what the? So he was fighting you and he hurt you. So yeah.
Oh, freaking Sean. Yeah, man, this is going to be a good fight. Like I said, I think Chito's coming in with something to prove. He wants to show that, hey, it wasn't just a fluke. You know, I can still show up and take on the champ. But on the other hand, on the Sean O'Malley side, I want to favor Sean for this fight, to be honest. So the reason I say that is because Chito, the way that he fights, he kind of commands the octagon when he's in there, right? He leads the fight often. He kind of controls the movements, I guess, if you want to call it that, but he controls like the opponent's position in the ring, which is great. But Sean is very, very good at gauging that distance and kind of feinting so well. I mean, we saw it perfectly in the Aljo fight. He gauged the distance perfectly. He waited for Aljo to extend his range, and he landed that perfect right hook. Knocked him out. Well, knocked him down. So I think if Sean can continue that game plan, I guess, because both these fighters, keep in mind, that was a couple years ago. Both these fighters have grown. I think Cheeto probably grew a little bit more in terms of like general fighting style and kind of getting his rhythm down more than Sean did, because Sean just kind of, he got more efficient at what he was good at doing, which is kind of his striking ability, you know? And so if he can keep that distance, if he can gauge kind of like where Cheeto's trying to move him around the fence, and we saw it in the first fight, he was very good at that as well up until he destroyed his ankle. But again, I just think that Sean might have the upper hand only for that reason. Other than that, though, if Cheeto can kind of keep the feints and make sure that Sean can't really find his distance with Cheeto, I think goes Cheeto all the way, all day long.
And, you know, to that point, that's what I was going to say about Cheeto. If you remember the Cheeto Vera versus Dominic Cruz fight, there's a, when he knocks out Dominic Cruz.
That was a great fight, dude.
It's a great fight. When he knocks out Dominic Cruz, you talk about distance and timing. That was a perfect display. You have Dominic Cruz fainting. He kind of gets tapped a little bit by a couple 1-2s from Cheeto. And Cheeto set that up perfectly because he knew what he was going to do. And Dominic steps back to run. And Cheeto flips his left leg up and KOs him out cold, right? And so as we're looking at like distance and controlling, I think that there's a little bit to be said on both sides. But I agree with you. I think that what makes Sean O'Malley so good, and you saw it against freaking the guy with the green hair. What the hell is his name? Moutinho.
Moutinho.
Yeah. Chris Moutinho. And, you know, all props. I know Chris Moutinho isn't in the UFC anymore. I know that's the most we ever saw that guy, but I have so much respect for him for stepping in with Sean O'Malley. Yeah. And just continuing to knock down his door, right? But because of the way Moutinho is fighting, it really highlighted how good O'Malley's striking is. You would have Moutinho just cut up right the middle, and as soon as he would cut up, bro, I mean, O'Malley was left side, right side, just laying it on him. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. Yep. I think that both of them have grown, just like you said. Cheeto, to me, though, has grown in a different way with power and fight IQ. And then just a little fun fact too, Cheeto, the reason they call him Cheeto is because he eats a lot of Cheetos before the fight.
Oh yeah.
And he likes to throw Cheeto dust in his opponent's eyes. So I'm gonna go Cheeto Vera by Cheeto dust. Leading to
Cheeto Vera by Cheeto dust. Oh my gosh.
No, in all reality, no, I'm gonna go Cheeto unanimous decision.
Okay. Cheeto Okay. Oh, you're going unanimous decision, really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a five. It's a five round.
Yep, I think it's gonna go all five.
Really? Okay. So the only reason I'm kind of surprised by that, and just to explain, is usually not always, but I feel like more times than not, if it goes to decision, it will go to the champ most of the time. It's like how people say like tide goes to the runner. Usually tide goes to the champ in these situations, especially if it goes five rounds. Mind you though, if it's obviously for instance, Strickland versus what's his name? Strickland. Help me out, guys. You guys remember his name?
Who are you talking about?
Strickland versus just recently happened. Literally like last month.
Oh, DuPlessis.
2 months ago, whatever it was. DuPlessis, yeah. Strickland versus DuPlessis. That one went to decision. Obviously went to DuPlessis. And I think a lot of people were pretty like surprised by that. But I don't know. Usually I feel like it goes to the champ. That's why I'm a little surprised by what Carlos saying that it's going to go five rounds decision to Cheeto. But I mean, it definitely very well could. I'm going to say O'Malley round three TKO.
Ooh. Okay. I'm actually going to go with Cheeto on this one as well, but I'm going to go third round submission.
Really?
Oh, I really like that.
I like that.
That's interesting. No,
it's not interesting. It's facts.
It's facts. Okay. Why do you say submission?
Because I think Cheeto can, and O'Malley has no ground game.
Well, O'Malley is no ground
game.
You're not wrong. Like he's not a
jiu-jitsu artist or anything like that. He isn't a grappler. He's a striker, right? Yeah.
He's a striker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he definitely can hold his own on the ground, but I don't know.
He can. I think Cheeto's got just a better grappler. That's
it. Yeah. I mean, Cheeto is a grappler by fighting style. I think the only thing that kind of like hurts Cheeto in that aspect is that Sean is 3 inches taller than him. And that length can kind of get some to kind of the shorter length guys, you know, and he's got a 2-inch reach on Cheeto too.
Right. So, which is why Cheeto is
needs to take it to the ground.
Going to be in trouble if he just keeps it on his feet.
Good point. Frick. Didn't think about that.
But yeah, I think Cheeto's got a lot more to prove. Like you said, I think O'Malley, it's hard to tell, you know, he's, whether it's just his act or if he's actually this psychotic, but I don't know. I think he's going in way too cocky on this with, I don't know. He beat Sterling. Okay. I don't know. I'm not like all that impressed with him so far.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people echo that same sentiment.
I totally agree. I don't think he's fought very many notable people. I mean, the most notable again is Aljo, and then previous to that was Jan, right? But before that, mm-hmm. he fought Chris Pitino. He just doesn't have like these high caliber. And you go through and look at Cheeto and the guys he's fought, I would probably say as far as talent in the UFC, Cheeto has the more impressive resume.
Right, and I'm not going to hold that against O'Malley that his resume is kind of weak, and like he is a hell of a striker. I mean, probably the or one of the best in that whole division, but I don't know. I think, again, Cheeto's just got more to prove on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely does. But yeah, that's kind of like that is the breakdown that we have for you guys for UFC 299 and our predictions following that. Again, we will be watching this fight and we'll do a Sunday. Actually, we'll probably post it Monday. We'll post it Monday. We'll do a post-fight kind of breakdown as well to go over our predictions and to go over our thoughts on what the fights, how they played out.
Is because we might be in mourning after Poirier retires on Sunday. So,
yeah. Are you like reading my mind? I was gonna say.
Teflon, Alex is already just crying over here.
Dude, I am. I said I'm not talking to anybody on Sunday because I'll be crying from Dustin being knocked out again also retiring.
Dude, I mean,
I can't handle
bottles.
That.
I've got bottles and bottles of his hot sauce that I'm just gonna douse over my head and cry.
So. He's gonna be in the shower, just showering with hot sauce. That's gonna be so yuck. Okay. One thing I did want to mention: we actually had a follower reach out to us on Instagram. They did ask us two questions, and I wanted to get your guys' answers on this because I actually didn't know the answer on this one. So they asked, how do they determine the odds? Where do the numbers come from? And what is considered good or bad odds? Do you guys know how they determine those odds? Is it just like bookmakers that decide? Like how does that work?
Vegas casinos, man, and all their freaking algorithms.
Yeah, it's just algorithm based on what people are betting on, right? So the odds flip once bets start swaying one way or the other. So it's always changing. That's why when you first post them to even in the fight. So sometimes we're watching the fight, you'll see live odds come up. And that's because the bets are starting to sway one way or the other. And to Alex's point, it's all based off algorithms because who always wins? The house always wins. Mm-hmm. So what they want to do is stack it in a way that encourages people to bet, right? And so the odds are entirely based on that. Right. So like if you're starting to see odds shift, it's an algorithm. I don't understand it. I'm sure probably people smarter than this can. But yeah, it's all just based on the way people are betting.
Okay. Yeah, which goes into like kind of like good odds versus bad odds, because yeah, your sports books are basically just going to assume 50% of people are going to bet one way, the other 50% are going to bet the other way, so the house is going to collect on both sides of that. So they have to make, you know, let's say it's a I'm trying to think of one of the fights we have that's kind of a for sure going one way, but I don't think we actually have one, so I can't really give you a good example.
No, I don't think we do.
If you took O'Malley versus Moutinho kind of fight, right? You'd have to give, if you were betting on Moutinho or Moutinho for that, you'd have to get crazy odds to make even worth your while to bet on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly right. Yeah, if you come in stacked on like a, you know, a plus 500, right? That's going to make you want to bet on him, even though you might not want to, right? Because again, simple math here, right? Is if you bet on plus 500, if your bet wins, right? You're basically saying, I'm going to bet, and this is a fraction, right? But just for easy numbers, I'm going to bet $100 on Chris Moutinho at plus 500. If Chris Moutinho would have won, you pocket $500, right? So it's that kind of spread, and you know, betting is fun, bet responsibly. But yeah, that's the way it works. And so if you ever see a spread like that, you know, throw some money at it. It might be a little fun.
Well, there you go. All right. And then the last question, thank you guys for clarifying that. And hopefully those listeners, whoever, or this individual that asked, can hopefully understand that a little bit further. But the last question was, what does a slugfest mean? So we did say that in our last episode, and I realized after I read that question that we never really explained that. So slugfest, in the context that I was using it, was essentially like these guys are just throwing punches at each other and they're both eating them. They're heavy punches. So that's what I meant by slug. So it's like a slug would be something that you load into like a gun, for instance, right? Like a little slug round. It's just like a ball, and those just have penetrating power pretty much. And so a slugfest would be just penetrating punches, either very one-sided or they're both going at each other. I don't know. I mean, do you guys, is that how you kind of understand slugfest?
I think they were probably referring to slugfest in baseball terms, right?
Yeah, there's
probably
no. I'm just kidding.
It is a good question though, because I mean, if you think about it, right? If you didn't know anything, like slugfest, you'd think like, oh, are they moving slow?
Oh, it's
like,
is this like,
yeah. But I agree with that. I mean, think about, let's see. Oh, hey, Dustin Poirier versus freaking Max Holloway.
Hooker.
Slugfest.
Oh.
when they pointed to the middle of the. Yeah. Octagon, remember that? They got up, they were like, right here, right now.
Yep.
Let's point to it. They pointed the middle, they both walk out, and they just bop, 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 just start going. So,
yep.
But actually, in baseball, it's just a lot of hits. So, in case that's what you were asking,
oh, cool.
It's a little
thanks,
bit
Alex.
You yeah, no problem. Now, okay, peace.
<I'm just kidding. laughs> So thank you for the listener that messaged us. That's exactly what we have the Instagram there for, to kind of update you guys on some MMA news, but more importantly, to answer your questions if you might have any. So please continue sending them in. We do want to interact with you guys as much as possible. So yeah, don't forget our Instagram is MMA Amigos. Go give us a follow, go give us a question, give us some hate, whatever you want. Don't care. Yeah,
and maybe sometime we do like a Q&A, you know, accumulate a handful of questions, that'd be a fun episode.
Yeah, that would be actually, that's great. Yeah, if you guys want to, we'll get that going. If you guys want to message into the Instagram and just ask questions, we'll make sure to go through them on one of these later episodes. We're also planning our episode on kind of fighter style rankings. So we should hopefully have something out for you guys in the next little while. But other than that, that's kind of what we got for you guys today on this episode. We appreciate you guys listening. If you like the episode or don't like it, whatever, share it. I don't care if you don't like it, share it.
Yeah, boy.
No, don't share it if you don't like it. But if you like it, share it. It helps us out a lot.
Oh, dude, freaking share it. Anyway, just stick with it.
Yeah, Just, yeah, you'll like it eventually. It's like, what is it, like Stockholm Syndrome?
Stockholm Syndrome.
Sure, I'm coming to your house.
If you don't love me, I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to make you love me.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, this is MMA Amigos. You've got Gabe.
And Juan Carlitos.
And Alex the Great. Or just Alex. Just Alex.
Or just Alex.
No, you're the great now.
The great. So Alex the Great. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next episode. You've got MMA Amigos.
Hasta luego.